You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Our scripture reading today is going to be in Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. And Father God, we ask for your blessing on this reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
I want to bring your attention to the back page of the bulletin. You know, each week as I prepare the bulletin, I always go out on a certain website and I look, ChristiansUnite.com. I look for some news that catches my eye. And I'd caught this, and this was an interesting little clip. It was talking about Ted Turnell, said that he felt suicidal after splitting up last year with his wife because she had converted to Christianity. And in a 20-page article in the New Yorker, the founder said he was despondent over the separation from his third wife and his firing. This all came down, I guess, at the same time at the AOL-Time Warner merger. So it also is noted that Turner's father had committed suicide. Well, they had been married since 1991, but it says their relationship started to deteriorate after Fonda became a Christian in 97 when her chauffeur began to tell her about Christ. Now, I love that part right there. You know, here's a guy or person. Here's a person. I don't know, a guy or girl, either one. Here's a person charged with driving a car. Now, you know, I've seen those chauffeurs. I've actually ridden in a limousine several times. And you tend to have a feeling like, look at me. You know, I remember we went to a Christmas party, one of the companies I worked for, and we were in San Francisco, and I surprised Kathy with a limousine, who came and picked us up and took us for about 45 minutes driving into San Francisco. You know, and there was the driver. And, you know, now the driver didn't witness or anything, but I've sat in that limousine. I thought, look at us, you know, aren't we just super, you know? And that's what a limousine effect, that's what it has on you. And I thought, here's this driver had an opportunity to witness the Lord Jesus Christ to Jane Fonda. And I thought that was, and there was an interesting thing, last paragraph here. See, Turner is an atheist, and he's been critical of Christianity for some time. He calls it a religion of losers, very intolerant faith. And last month he referred to some CNN Catholic employees as Jesus freaks. But Fonda, who is 63, told the magazine The New Yorker that Turner's philanthropy, including the $1 billion he donated to the United Nations, has been a spiritual overtone to it. Although he claims to be an atheist, at the end of every speech he says, God bless you. She thinks he wants to get into heaven through his philanthropic efforts. Well, guess what? That doesn't work. Maybe he'll have a limousine driver. And you know what? God reaches out to each and every individual at some point in their life and gives them an opportunity to hear that good news, that he died for us, and that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Thank goodness he doesn't keep it a secret. And you know, and the secret that the scripture reading today was Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Well, not only the law, but what secrets have been revealed to us? Well, let's open with prayer, and we'll get into that. Father, we pause now to study your word, and we thank you for the opportunity to do that. We thank you for your son, Christ Jesus, and the testimony of this chauffeur who witnessed to Jane Fonda, and who then became a Christian. Lord, it's just such a testimony that you are called each one of us to witness in whatever role we're in, whether it's to drive a car or whether it's to lead a company, or to lead a nation, or to man a nursery, or to teach school, or to sell something. Whatever it is, Lord, whatever we're called to do, we are a witness, and we're to be a light unto the world, and that light is in Christ Jesus. We thank you for the opportunity and the encouragement of this story. We thank you for the opportunity that we have, the completed Bible, where we can study it and have it hidden in our heart, that we might not sin against you, but yet be a testimony of just the glorious salvation and the eternal purpose that is in Christ Jesus. For it's in his name we pray, and for its sake. Amen. Okay, so I thought to myself, does God keep secrets? Well, I guess he does, because Deuteronomy 29:29 says he did. He says the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. So there are a lot of secret things. Matter of fact, we all have secrets. I have a secret. I'm not telling. Do you have a secret? Maybe I can get you to tell me your secret. I've kept secrets from my wife. I still have secrets I won't tell her. She's going to find out about them eventually. And they're good secrets. Those are good secrets. And, you know, we like secrets. As people, we like secrets. We like shows like Mission Impossible, which is all intrigue and espionage because there are international secrets and there's always countries trying to find out other countries' secrets. Well, we just saw in the news the spy plane because, you know, China thought maybe we were spying on them. Well, duh, you're China. We're going to spy on you. And I'm sure they spy on us. They have people who have bought secrets from people called traitors because people have sold secrets that aren't to be revealed to the enemy. They're called traitors. They're exposed. So if a secret is a secret, when should you share a secret? You know, you've been in school or maybe in work and you've been given some information that is supposed to be kept secret. What do you do about that? Do you keep it? Now, I, as a hobby growing up, I had the hobby of magic. Well, this has been a really fun hobby, and you know, sometimes I get into it, sometimes I'm not so involved with it because I'm too busy, but I always love a good magic show. And it wasn't a few weeks ago that David Copperfield had another magic show. Did anybody see the magic show, David Copperfield? Just did some incredible magic. Very entertaining. We've been to magic shows in Las Vegas, and I've seen magic shows here. I've actually put on magic shows myself. And invariably, the one question that comes at some point is, okay, how did you do it? You know, what's the secret? And I lean over and I say, I'll tell you what the secret is. Magic. That's the secret. That's not what I want to hear. That's not what I wanted to hear. Everybody always asks me, well, how do you saw the person in half? How do you make them float? Well, if I knew, I'd be up on stage with David Copperfield, okay? Some things I don't know. And that's the thing about, you know, the magic fraternity and the hobby. There are different levels of attainment. As you start to learn sleight of hand and, you know, maybe thimble magic or card magic, you learn things that are fairly common. Most people know, at least in the first stage of magic. If you've ever played with magic, you might know what a force is or the ability to, you know, hide a coin or a thimble with palming, okay? But as you get more and more into the big magic, like David Copperfield, I have no idea how he does some of that stuff. It just blows me away just as much as you do. Yet, I've been initiated in the lower level of truth. Well, there are other examples of that, where, you know, a secret is meant to be kept, and at times to be revealed. There's a group called the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, right? We've heard about the FBI. Well, here I got a little thing here. Let me read to you. It says, what is the FBI? Well, the FBI is the principal investigative arm of the United States Department of Justice. It has the authority and responsibility to investigate specific crimes assigned to it. The FBI also is authorized to provide other law enforcement agencies with cooperative services such as fingerprint identification, laboratory examinations, and police training. Well, here's a question. It says, can I obtain detailed information about current FBI investigations I see in the news? And the answer is no. Such information is protected from public disclosure in accordance with current law and Department of Justice and FBI policy. This policy preserves the integrity of the investigation and the privacy of the individuals involved in the investigation prior to any public charging for the violations of law. It also serves to protect the right of the people not yet charged with a crime. So there's an organization responsible for keeping some things secret for protection and timing. See, is there a timing issue there? All right. Well, there's another agency called the Central Intelligence Agency. You've heard of them, the CIA. What is the CIA? Well, the CIA was created in 1947, with the signing of the National Security Act by President Truman. The National Security Act was charged with the director of Central Intelligence with coordinating the nation's intelligence activities and correlating, evaluating, disseminating intelligence which affects national security. So here's some things out of the frequently asked questions on their website. It says, how many people work for the CIA and what is its budget? Well, the answer was, well, neither the number of employees nor the size of the agency's budget can at present be publicly disclosed. Yeah, so we pay for this, and, you know, yet it can't, you know, we don't know how many people are in the organization, so they're keeping it a secret. Well, why? You know, well, I looked a little bit further, and I wanted to know, when does the CIA declassify information? Well, the Director of Central Intelligence, the DCI, and there are a lot of acronyms in this research that I did, so I'll try to spare you with them, is to mobilize the collection and analytical capabilities of the CIA and other intelligence agencies to ensure that our national leaders have the information necessary for informed policy decision-making. Although much of our work must be done in secrecy, we have a responsibility to the American people, to history, to account for our actions and quality of our work. Accordingly, I've made a serious commitment to the public to release some information which the passage of time no longer needs to be protected under a security classification system. They have a whole system in regard to the security. But also notice there was a passage of time in revolve to revealing the secrets that are contained within the CIA. Indeed, the CIA, like all agencies of the U.S. government, is charged by Executive Order 12958 with instituting declassification programs to provide for the timely release of information it had previously classified. While intelligence information often retains its sensitivity for many years, even decades, there will eventually come a time when the information produced by such sources and methods can be released to the public without harm to national security. Very interesting. So, does God have an intelligence arm in heaven? Okay? Here we see an example of the FBI and the CIA, and we see the CIA is involved with the investigative part. The FBI was more the criminal research aspect of it. Well, I thought that was an interesting aspect. You know, when you look at God and the Godhead, what kind of intelligence do they employ? Or what kind of intelligence agency do they have? Well, it's extensive, right? It blows anything the CIA might have away. We find out in Joshua 22, it says, the Lord God of gods, and the Lord God of gods, he knoweth, in Israel he shall know if it be in rebellion. So here's a verse that talks about, look, God knows everything. That's one of the attributes of God. He doesn't need an intelligence agency to tell him information sensitive to the, you know, to the nation of Israel at that time or to his programs. He knows all. It was actually Elijah who at one point in time said, you know, I'm the only one, Lord, that's left, you know, serving you. And he said, no, sorry, I've got, you know, at least 5,000 who I know are mine and can come to my aid when I call. 1 John 3:20 says, for our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. So the intelligence aspect of God and what he does is unlimited because he is God. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his, and let everyone that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. 1 Corinthians 3:19, let me read that to you, for the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he takes the wise in their own craftiness, and again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, for they are all vain. 2 Peter 2:9 says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. So, you know, he knows. So if you think about the aspect of what I read with the FBI, you know, he doesn't need anybody out there doing the investigation because he knows. And it said right there in 2 Peter, the Lord knows how to deliver them out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. So see, there's that time factor. You know, and today, oh, by the way, we're under a period of grace. So God's day is standing back, taking note of all this. And he's got his own, you know, heavenly bureau of investigation, and he's keeping note. And at the right time, he's going to bring everybody out, and there's going to be a day of judgment. And people like Ted Turner, if he has made a case against himself, and ended up not being a member of the body of Christ, I don't care whatever philanthropic activity he was going about, he will come short because the only thing that is between God and man is the man Christ Jesus. That's the only way to get there. And see, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to preserve the unjust, and he will bring that unjust group and he will have a day of judgment. Well, does God need to be providing intelligence that affects his eternal purpose? Well, I don't think so. Because not only does he know all things, as we've seen in these scriptures here, his eternal purpose will be accomplished no matter what global or non-global conspiracy takes place. Now, when I say global or non-global, well, global conspiracy or, you know, man and man's wisdom. Non-global will be the angelic, right? So remember, let's look at, or at least read a few passages here, and let's kind of recount about some of the things that Derek touched on last week, which really caught my eye, which was that cosmic chess game that's going on. You know, the Godhead got together and met amongst themselves before the creation of the earth, before the foundation of angels, the creation of angels. The Godhead got together, and we have found out, because he has declassified some of these documents in the Word of God, we have found out that the blood of Christ was going to be the chief cornerstone for forgiveness and the redemption of mankind, and that was settled before he created angels and before he created the world and put Adam in the Garden of Eden. Now, did he tell Adam that he declassified at that time? He didn't. Because when Satan showed up in the Garden of Eden, now let's go there, Genesis chapter 1. Actually, Genesis chapter 3. We'll skip ahead. Genesis 3, 1. Now the serpent was subtle more than any beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, you know, hey, as God said, you shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge, or tree of the garden. And the woman said, well, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Well, the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, here's Satan in the garden. Now, Satan didn't know about this secret plan that the Godhead had made, because he thought he could defeat God's plan right here in the garden. He thought he could make them fall. Boom, he's won. But God's eternal purpose was yet, because we see in verse 15, the Lord says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. He says, unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, and in thy conception, and in thy sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thou shalt desire that I be the husband, and he will be rule over thee. Well, God promised through this course right here that the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head. So now God slightly declassified some of the secrets that they agreed on before the foundation of the world, that the seed of the woman was going to be the way of salvation. So what does it do? The enemy finds out about this through the declassification program and starts getting busy to try and destroy the seed of the woman. And what happens? We go up to Genesis chapter 6, which is the flood. Okay. So God had one family, Noah and his family, who then went through the flood. And all the way up through here, God's plan is always coming out. And it wasn't until we get to Christ, when he came here on the flesh and was died, buried, and rose again, that all of the plans, pretty much all of the secrets that were hidden in God, were getting ready to be revealed and completely declassified. Let me read a few more scriptures to you here. It says in Ecclesiastes, he says, I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every purpose and for every work. Okay, there's that time factor. Ecclesiastes 12:14 says, for God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. See, this whole intelligent aspect of what God has going is he knows. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Ephesians 1:11, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Ephesians 3:11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, there's that eternal purpose. The Godhead set forth the key to heavenly policy, which is Christ Jesus in his shed blood. So if the Godhead, before the foundation of the world, before the creation of angels, set up heavenly policy that was classified, he then, through the Scriptures and through his Son, have ultimately declassified the way to heaven, which is then through Christ Jesus and his Son. Now, how do we know some of this? Well, in 1 Peter, go ahead and go there, 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter 1:18. As you turn there, I'll read you Hebrews 9:22. Hebrews 9:22 says, almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. We've heard that before. Well, in 1 Peter 1:18, it says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers. Now, I might read in there, you were not redeemed with a $1 billion contribution. Okay? Is that fair to say? For you weren't redeemed with even being highly moral and good works. But with what? Verse 19, the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was before ordained, before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. See, he was declassified. Okay? The secret that was in him was now manifest in these last times. For who by him do you believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God? Go to Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than now, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Well, we find this out in the Scriptures. You know, we've never, just like Thomas, you know, last week being Easter, and then the testimony of Thomas was, he says, you know, unless I see it, unless I touch him, I'm not going to believe it. And the Lord appears unto him, and he says, touch me and believe. And Thomas falls down and says, you know, my Lord, my God. And he says, you know, blessed are you, Thomas, because you've seen me and believed, but blessed more are those who haven't seen and believed. Well, we haven't seen God face to face, but we've seen his word. And his word is written to us, it's completed. And I'm using this declassification theme that he is completely declassified. I think he still has some more secrets, but he's pretty much given us all that we've had at the end of 2 Timothy, as we know the writing there. And I'm going to get to that. But so what are God's activities that have been declassified and revealed to mankind? Well, I put here, well, there was a meeting of the Godhead before the foundation of the world, and several plans were created concerning mankind. These plans have been revealed over time at the right place and the right time to accomplish God's will. Now, as you look at Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And John 1:1 through 3 says, yeah, in the beginning was the Word. Now, what beginning are we talking about? See, we got the beginning of the earth in Genesis. But in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. See, that's before the beginning. That's the beginning. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. Without him was nothing. Anything that was made, made. So see, there's that time, that picture of them back. Now, why back, you know, it's hard to comprehend this, but back before time, back before he created angels, why, you know, what was the plan? What were these documents that were being, you know, drawn up and ultimately would be declassified? Well, Revelation 4:11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." God loves us and wants to have fellowship with us. Just like I've learned every day, I learn more and more about the love a father has for a son. That love and the motivation that we have to get to know Him better, that's, it shouldn't be driven out of law. It shouldn't be driven out of I have to. It's driven out of I love God and I want to get to know Christ better. And I know the way to do that is through studying His Word, through fellowship, through prayer. It's not through, you know, TV. It's not through movies. It's not through a lot of things that I still find myself doing, right? So, as He's declared heavenly policy and has then declassified it so that I might then go to those documents and find out the Word of God of these documents. Hebrews 13:20 says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, this great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." See, that everlasting covenant, that love that God had before the foundation of the world, He provided a way through the blood of Christ that mankind would have a way. 1 John 3:8 says that he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. That Genesis 1, we saw that beginning. Even before that, when Lucifer became Satan. For the purpose of the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Ah. So 1 John 3:8 starts to talk about these, you know, Christ and what He was now, through the death, burial, and resurrection, is now able to destroy the works of the devil. Now, had they known that, had these documents been declassified too early, Israel might not have crucified Christ. Satan might not have, stirred everybody up to crucify Him, because he thought, if I can just get this Jesus killed, first I'm going to go try and tempt Him and get Him on my side. That didn't work, so now I'm going to get him on the cross, and I'm going to kill him, and I'm going to be victorious. But oh, had he wished he had an informant where he could have bought a few secrets ahead of time. Didn't work. So now, with the resurrection of Christ, he now has the ability to destroy the works of the devil. Well, when sin entered the world, and throughout history, God always had revealed truth at the right time in order for man to know the way of life. Well, a large portion of the heavenly policy was declassified with the resurrection of Christ. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 1. 1 Corinthians 2:1 says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." This verse 7 here, this is kind of really sums up what I've been trying to communicate about this whole example of classifying and declassifying documents. But we speak of the wisdom of God in a mystery, the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh, you know, seen among men and raised up into glory. That mystery of godliness, that Christ is the God-man, we just can't understand that. But He is. Okay. We won't try and figure it out. That He is God and He's also man. But you know that the Scriptures say He is the mediator of God and men, and He's the man, Christ Jesus. But this hidden wisdom was classified. And God ordained before the world unto our glory. See, that was a classified piece right there. But it's through the operation here, verse 8, this classification was important because none of the princes of this world knew, for if they had known it, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, it was just amazing that, you know, we saw last week with the Easter story, you know, the Garden of Gethsemane, and we saw the Lord said, you know, he said, not my will, but thine, Lord. He had the power to stand up and just zap everybody. You know, why go through the hard part of, you know, declassifying God's plan and going to the cross and doing all those things? Why could, you know, because I as a man with sin in me would rather take the power route, okay? But God, without sin and love, took the route of love and went to the cross for you and me. And he let what man thought, this chess, cosmic chess match, he thought that, man thought here, these princes of the world thought they had really scored big here. But as it is written in verse 9, I have not seen or ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. But what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God know not a man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man wisdom teaches, but that the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. In verse 13 there is an internal law of Scripture. One of the things that we're to do is compare the Scripture with Scripture. So, 1 Corinthians 15:3-4 says, For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how now that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Well, this all leads to another secret. Okay, what are the secrets that have been revealed? Yeah, there's a lot of secrets in the, that have been revealed in Scripture, declassified. But I would say that the last secret that has been revealed unto us, we're going to find in Ephesians. Okay? Ephesians chapter 1, we'll start at verse 3. Well, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. So you know what? We find out that in that meeting that I keep referring to, not only did they work out the blood of Christ, but that here it says, we've chosen us in him before, so he chose us in him at that time. That's just amazing. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded to us in all wisdom and prudence, and having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Well, why is that? That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in all things in Christ Jesus, which are both in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him, which worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. When Ephesians and this body of truth was given, this was the last great secret that the Lord declassified from heaven and gave through the Apostle Paul to you and me. I'm sure God has a lot more secrets for us to be able to partake in when we get to be with him. But in, as far as the Word of God goes, this was the last one that he declassified that we might be able to read and rejoice in. Because here in Ephesians 3:9, it says, And to make all men what is the fellowship of the mystery, or the great secret, which from the beginning of the world was hidden in God. See, it was classified. Who created all things by Jesus Christ to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So much is coming out now. Okay, so he classified this plan to the intent under the principalities and powers in the heavenly places he might be able to show them the manifold wisdom of God. So this time element that we saw in the whole declassification process and the timeliness and all the sensitivity of it, God knows how to do that the best because he did it with his plan and as he revealed it to these principalities and powers and to ourselves and through the operation of God and through the resurrection of Christ Jesus and according to the eternal purpose, verse 11, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the last secret that's been revealed is the mystery that Paul writes about in Ephesians 3:9, Colossians 1:25-26. And this is the calling for us today. These are the documents that are directed to us that have been revealed from the great intelligence agency that's up in heaven, which is the super heavens far above all principalities and power. And that's where God the Father and God the Son and God the Spirit reside in their agency, and he doesn't share what the budget is or how many headcount that he has, okay? He's doing the same thing, but I'll tell you, his plan, it's a glorious one, and it's one we're partaking in, and hopefully the lesson today just kind of shared a little different light on the process of God and the revelation of Scripture as he reveals it throughout time. So let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the study today, for your word. There's so much here, Lord. Lord, we use certain analogies to try and communicate, you know, certain truths, Lord. But analogies aside, Lord, it's your word, and we know that your word is true. And we thank you for the truth in Scripture, for its completeness. We thank you for you revealing truths to us. We know that as you've done that through the Scriptures, particularly through the Apostle Paul and the mysteries in Ephesians, we thank you for sharing that with us and giving us the joy and the hope and just the celebration that we have and being identified with Christ, not only in his resurrection, but in his calling in the heavenlies far above, Lord. We thank you for all that you've done and continue to do and accomplish. And we just praise your name for it's in Christ and we pray it for his sake. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.